Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests. Prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And we are here with one of the best friends of the show. He's one of the best in the business. He's the podcast producer over at NBC Sports Chicago. He covers the Chicago Bulls like a blanket, and nowadays covers every team like a blanket. He is the COVID-19 champ for all us podcasters. He is the one, the only, the Tony Gill on Twitter. He's Tony Gill. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Mike? I'm doing well, man. Just dealing with this pandemic like everybody else is, and just trying to push through it.
Obviously, we make a joke about it in our little communities of all the work we've been doing, but, you know, the work that a lot of the people you and I know when it comes to the healthcare and the people working in the grocery stores, you know, shout out to them. And I think that's one of the things we'll get into sports talk in a little bit, but having somebody like you on, it's one of those things that really motivates us, I think, to get the best content out there for those people who are can't be at home, who are in the front lines. Do you ever think about stuff like that whenever you're doing one of these interviews or you're making sure that everything sounds good and that Jason's taken care of or KC's taken care of? Is that something that kind of goes through your mind?
Yeah, definitely. Because now with everything that kind of come to a halt, people are looking for ways to kind of pass the time and get through their days. And specifically what we do as content providers is give them that outlet on social media or via podcasting or YouTube or whatever that content creators are doing, is providing an outlet for these people to just relax and maybe think of something else other than, you know, their job situation or their health situation or, you know, any of the serious matters that we're going through right now. And I take that, you know, with pride that, you know, it's my job to help with that and give people a service. And it's crazy that, I mean, obviously what, you know, we do isn't, you know, of the utmost importance in times like these, but it is kind of important at the same time that people have something to go to get their minds off things and to, you know, relax and just kind of remember to laugh during this and to enjoy their families and friends and stuff like that. So I do take, you know, what I do seriously, and everybody else at NBC Sports Chicago does, and that's what we do every day. We have content calls and just exchange ideas on how to best serve our fans and the fans of sports in general.
And one of the really fun things that I enjoy every Monday morning when I'm heading down to the WCPT building is the post Last Dance thing that you guys are doing. And, you know, Kendo's killing it, Jason's killing it, Will's killing it. You know, whoever's on the show, you guys are monsters when it comes to these post Last Dance content. And what is, you know, I want to kind of dig your brain into this. And, you know, everybody, I highly suggest it. Go check out the podcast network. Go check out the YouTube channel, crushing it over there, and binge listen to the entire reviews of The Last Dance. If you're catching up with them, kind of make a tradition after watching the episode to listen to the boys and all of them just talk about it. But what is something that you want to see that we haven't seen yet? I know everybody's talking about all the great stuff we've already got, you know, learning the Jordan rules, and we're going to see the practice of the USA team and, you know, all the gambling. And what is something that you haven't seen yet that kind of has Tony Gill being like, all right, you know, when are we going to finally get to this moment?
Well, I think they previewed that coming up. Well, I mean, what this documentary is doing well is actually giving us the human version of Michael Jordan, along with all the superhero stuff that we've come to, you know and grow up as fans of basketball and of sports. That's one thing I didn't want was another fluff documentary. And I think specifically in today's time where documentaries are more important and more enjoyed more than ever, people are realizing that the facts of life are more entertaining than, you know, fictional stories. It's really great to see that people are more interested in the human aspects of these feats and these achievements rather than a glorified version of them. And that's what we've been kind of getting in the past with Jordan. He's just this godlike figure or whatever. But we know that's not true. You know, he's still a human. He still has flaws. And I was excited to see that they didn't shy away from that. And I was worried about that with Michael Jordan being executive producer of this project, that he would kind of scrub out some of these other things that we've all had questions about, the political stuff, his comments about Republicans buy shoes too, his gambling issues. So far, they've done a great job of attacking those really well and leaving it up for us to decide on how we feel now about the superhero that is Michael Jordan. But specifically, I want to know, why was he punching teammates in the face and not getting reprimanded for it? So, they previewed that for this coming up Sunday's episode. Also, his relationship with his father who passed. And as you know, we talked about it in the past, I did an entire series with Julie DeCaro behind the headlines on that very subject that they're going to get to you this coming up Sunday about Michael's father being murdered. And kind of like the craziness behind it. And Michael really hasn't, we haven't seen an interview or done where Michael actually has a personal one-on-one within himself about how he feels about how that went on. So I'm looking forward to that. But again, yeah, I mean, he punched Will Perdue. You know, he's a teammate of mine, Will Perdue.
That's your guy.
I haven't asked him, I wanted to ask him about it, but I didn't feel really comfortable to ask him about being punched in the face. So I'm sure this coming up episode is going to discuss, and he punched Steve Kerr in the face, so that they're going to talk about that as well. So I'm looking forward to those two specific incidents.
Tony, so this is something that it's one of my favorite reasons when you and I just started kind of riffing is, you know, it's amazing. We talked about on top of the show how what we're doing, we take pride in it. And did you ever think, you know, obviously let's take away the pandemic, which is going to be hard to ever do. But in this scenario where, you know, we're looking back at Michael Jordan and it's the number one sports story. And, you know, you just coming off of doing that amazing series with Julie DeCaro and you working with a lot of these guys behind the scenes who were living in the middle of it, who lived through it, not just, you know, as spectators, but were teammates and whatnot. In a little inside baseball, did you ever think you would be here? Your talent speaks for itself, but like just that idea of how fast all this just kind of came out and you were ready to kind of rock and roll with it. Is it kind of a mind freak a little bit?
A little. I haven't really thought about it in a while because, you know, I just think about, all right, how do I get better at this? How do I push the content forward? How do I create, you know, the best and generate the best conversations and content as possible for NBC Sports Chicago. So that's kind of been my focus, but I haven't really I think one reason why I haven't, you know, taken a step back is just because one reason I just got started here, you know. I started, I think, in December, and, you know, it's only May, so I haven't even been here a year yet. So I feel like that I'm still trying to kind of create my own lane and kind of leave my own mark so far. Like I felt like I left my mark at the Score, and I was there for, you know, 4 years or so, 4 or 5 years. And that's how long it took me to actually generate a kind of like a following, quote unquote, or just, you know, just to put my name out there for the sports listener. Like, oh, I've heard of Tony Gill. And yeah, that's kind of all I wanted. I didn't want, you know, a lot of, you know, accolades or anything like that. I just wanted to enjoy what I do and do it for the city that I love, which is Chicago. By the grace of God, I've been given those opportunities and be put in situations where I can make that happen. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. I'm definitely grateful and happy that I have this opportunity, and grateful for the people that have allowed me to be in these situations at the score and at here at NBC Sports Chicago. And, you know, I don't want to let them down. The people that have entrusted me with things and allowed me to grow, I don't want to let any of them down. So that's kind of why I push, you know, so hard.
And I promise you guys, go check it out, NBC Sports Chicago, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Check them out on YouTube. Check out the website. They got a great bunch of great stuff there. And Tony Gill's fingerprints are over a lot of it. And Tony, we'll get into something about, you know, you making your mark. There's a whole new era of Bulls basketball that we are going to be embarking on in the near future. But before all that, it's my damn show. I want to talk about this because you were talking about how hard you work. And it kind of leads into the front office search of the Chicago Bulls. So obviously Karnishevis is now the new man in charge, and we finally get Mark Eversley as the GM of the Bulls, and the Nike connection, really a nice hire. But you as a black man, me as a Hispanic man, there was a moment there where it was a little concerning. We did not see any minority names come up until we saw Nazi, but for a second there, even for you who's way closer to that pulse and kind of has an idea of what's going on, For people of our ilk in the media, you know, and then Jason and all you boys and whatnot. Were you guys a little worried? Was there a little bit of a rocks people eyebrow?
Honestly, no. And we talked about it on the episode where we talked about AK being officially hired. Me and Jason, we were like, we didn't even think about it. Because as, you know, a Bull, people that cover the team and people that watch the team for a long, and that have watched the team for a long time, the act of change was the biggest deal for us. And we didn't even think about, did they interview a minority for, you know, VP of, like, that came second. And we were just honest with our feelings about it. Like, we felt bad. Like, we should have, there should have been somebody of a minority at that level to be able to interview and possibly have that position. And it's good to keep those things in check. When the Undefeated article came out with the anonymous executive talking about how, you know, the Bulls handled hiring for their VP of basketball ops, that they were certainly in the right. And the Bulls certainly should have done their due diligence on that front as well. And we should hold them accountable. We should hold every team of when they're hiring and looking for top-ranked executives, especially in sports, we need to hold them accountable on these things and keep putting the pressure on them. And as you saw, Michael Reinsdorf had to come out with the, you know, with the statement and all of that. And he should have. And I don't find them to be a, you know, racist organization. I don't, from my dealings with them, I don't have that thought in my mind about the Reinsdorfs and about the Bulls organization. So, you know, when they make the hire of Mark Eversley and they hire J.J. Polk, and they just have now they have a very, very diverse staff overall. And I think they did their due diligence, and I do think that hiring Eversley was a good hire by Karnishevis. So I'm looking forward to see what they do and what happens. So I'm very excited.
Thinking maybe it was the week later, Jason might have mentioned, and maybe it was you, who was like, you know, sometimes we all just need to slow our roll a little bit. We you know, we're trying to do the right thing. And I think that's the important thing you mentioned to it, is people with our platform, we have to make sure that, hey, guys, just keep up, pay attention to this. Hey, maybe you guys need to lick a little bit into this kind of thing. It's, I think people get worried about gaslighting, but it's not about that. It's look at what's the representation in the league. I'm like, let's take everything and say, you want to put politics aside. I know there's a lot of people out there who hate when we go down that road, but simply put, if you want the best ran organization, you want the best people in charge, you want people who get to know these players, who have relationships with these players. You can't keep going to Doug Collins every single time you want a regime change. And I think that's something that you guys handled really well. She's talking about the emotional side about it. But at the end of the day, we know that the Bulls, and you even mentioned it, they try to do the right thing, and they're trying right now to steer the ship in the right directions. Now that we know where we're at when it comes to the front office, I even messaged you when we were setting this up. Unless something happens with Jim Boylan in between this, let's look for this time. Are you surprised that here on May 6th in 2020, after the new GM, the new VP, that Jim Boylan is still the head coach? Or do you believe that they were always going to kind of take their time in that decision?
Arturis took his time with hiring a GM. After he kind of made his initial hires and his initial firing of Gar Foreman, everything kind of waited for about a week or so. So with these important positions, he already had a couple people in mind for his other assistant GM and head of, and all the other stuff that they're still trying to figure out that stuff and feel out the rest of their roster in the front office staff. So they're figuring that stuff out. They'll get to Jim eventually. One reason that they mentioned is that they actually want to meet him face-to-face. I know Jim reached out to them via phone call to congratulate them on their hires, but they won't make a decision until they meet with all the players and meet with all the coaches and the current state of the Bulls. They want to get an accurate picture of what went wrong here and why things have gone the way they've gone these last few years. We have to let them do their job. We have to let them do their due diligence on this organization, on this team. I mean, we all have a picture of what we think it goes on, but again, we don't have those one-on-one conversations with the people in that organization. They are going to have that ability and that authority to, and being the outside eye coming into the organization, they want to know for themselves is what they saw being a part of different organizations from the Bulls, is what they saw as bad as they thought or as good as they thought, like whatever they thought initially coming into the situation, they are going to find out the real deal about the players, the coaching staff, the scouting staff, all of that. So I'm not surprised that they're taking the time with Jim. Also, I think they're going to wait until they hear back from the league on how the season is going to progress. I mean, there's only about, you know, in the teens of games left if they want to restart the regular season, which every day as we get further and further along seems like a harder thing to conceive that will happen. But they're gonna wait it out, see what the official word is from the NBA, and then they'll probably make their decisions based on, all right, can I physically meet these people now, and then go on from there. But one thing we do know that, you know, Arturis is sure in his hiring and his firing so far. So whatever decision he makes is going to be one that, you know, he firmly believes in, and that he'll be ready to back up when the media asks him about it.
When you hear player development and brand building, does that lead you to believe that Jim Boylan is the head coach, or that's the first red flag that Jim Boylan is going to be outed as the Chicago Bull, as just kind of a hypothetical, we're reading in between the lines very deeply, we don't really have a lot of information type of stuff? Do you get that kind of reaction when you hear statements like that?
At this point, I don't want to make any, you know, assumptions about Jim's job at this point. When they make those statements of, like, when Mark Eversley, in his opening presser with the media, he's like, I want to make the Bulls cool again.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jim Boylan ooze cool for you? I guess you can ask that question and answer it for yourself. But yeah, like all of that matters. Player development and the branding of the Bulls as the Bulls aren't a joke anymore, and we're going to help change that. And it may come with a coaching change. They may stick with it and actually have him adjust. I don't know. But it's going to be their decision. And it's going to be one that they're going to be sure of. I think they're going to do their, again, due diligence is a crutch word at this point, but I really, really believe that they're going to do that and actually get the truth into, you know, what went wrong, why hasn't been going wrong, and what moves need to be made to help fix these issues.
Give me a roster change prediction heading into next season. Do we see a different starting lineup? Do we see one of the quote-unquote core players gone by next season, whenever that begins?
I don't think so. In terms of a major one, there's not really any big-time free agents coming out this summer, or I haven't heard of any disgruntled NBA star that will actually change anything significantly for this team. What I do know is that Arturis and Mark Eversley, they definitely believe that there is talent on this roster. So with them making that statement, that means that they're, and they wouldn't have taken this job if the cup was completely bare. There are things here, young pieces here that can grow. And they'll be free up to do something, you know, the following year. But in terms of a major, major shakeup, I doubt it unless they see somebody won't thrive here in this new environment that they're trying to create. But I think they just want to see what a change of, you know, voice in terms of executive, would that be, you know, a change of culture from the top down, would that be enough to change the thinking of the players and the coaching staff to actually move in the right direction? I can't see, I mean, Zach, he's on a great contract and he's their best player. It's hard to see them moving on from him, and he's young. They believe that Lauri Markkanen is still a talented player, but they do want to find out why did he regress so much. So they do believe in that. And they liked Wendell Carter and Coby White. They mentioned all those players specifically. So if that's the core, the other key pieces are kind of like ancillary, like Thad Young, he's an older statesman. That's not a major move if you want to move him. Otto Porter, he's making a lot of money this year. This is his final year on this deal. I don't know who'd be willing to take that contract with a season so uncertain. And also, he's not really a core piece to this team. So when you say major move, I think that Lauri, Wendell Carter, and Coby White. But I just don't see, at least right now, any of those pieces moving.
I think it's one thing that we always stress when you and I are talking. They're still young. There's been a lot of uncertainty when it comes to head coaches and the front office and whatnot. So, you know, we got to give these guys a chance to, and you've been saying it 3 times, get their hands on them and really just kind of start letting their philosophy sink in. But Tony, last one. During this entire time, what has been your number one go-to food during these shelter-in-place times here in the greatest city in the world, Chicago?
I actually just recently started a diet, so I wouldn't, you know, overeat.
Oh!
Myself. So, yeah, man, I mean, if you aren't, you know, using this time and this extra bonus time with yourself to kind of make yourself better as an individual, you really aren't going to do it when everything gets back to normal. I decided to take advantage of this time and get myself right, start looking at my body, start running a bit more. Just kind of, I just want to feel a lot, you know, healthier and a lot more engaged. And I think also it'll help me creatively when I need that boost of energy and stuff, rather than kind of like bog down and kind of forcing myself to kind of think of ideas and stuff like that. I think just overall just being healthy. So I've been a fan of grapes so far, the red grapes, what else, in granola, kind of go-to snack. And I've been coming fond of Honey Nut Cheerios, which is weird. I guess that means I'm getting old. I always hated Honey Nut Cheerios for some reason. And I'm only 28, so.
Oh, Tony.
I've become fond of Honey Nut Cheerios. And I always thought that was like an older person Cheerios, but it's actually pretty plain. So that's what I've been kind of getting into.
I just turned 30 last week, and I started picking up, you know, I do like 7 miles on the bike. Bro, I'm going to tell you something right now, man. Honey Nut Cheerios, going to bed at 8 o'clock, all that. It's real, bro. Just in 2 years, you'll be seeing me. Tony, you're the best. I appreciate you. You guys can follow him at TheTonyGill on Twitter. He's one of the best in the business. Check out all his amazing work at NBC Chicago. One of the big things that I highly suggest for all you, you know, hoop heads, for all you Bulls fans that are listening to this, Casey Johnson did an amazing job interviewing these guys. And Tony, I know, you know, you're doing a great job, but make sure these things get put together. They get up online for us. And, you know, as a hoop head, I appreciate what you're doing. As somebody inside the industry, you're killing it, my dude. Nothing but love to you and the family. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait. Hopefully the next time we talk, we'll have an idea. You know what? Before we leave, really fast, so we can make fun of you, right or wrong. Do we have a season? Yes or no?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to find a way to, you know, make a playoff setting, mm-hmm. Of some sort. Again, I don't need another, you know, regular season, like enough more of the regular season. I'm kind of good with whoever is in 1 through 8 on each conference and just kind of move on from there. And then my justification for that, for the teams that are like, oh, we just need a couple games to get back in the picture. Well, you probably should have played better earlier on. It's just unfortunate for you. I mean, it's not like you were going to win a championship, you know, hold up 9, 10. I think they should just go on with, all right, whoever is in the top 8 slot, and then just do a playoff from there.
anything is better than that horse thing and a racist NASCAR driver. Anything's better than that.
Also, I'm fond of SportsCenter's been sharing the slap tournament. I really wish that they would make that a legitimate sport. Cover all of those. It's the funniest thing ever.
So you're going to become the Bob Costas of face slapping.
Hey, if somebody needs to do it.
Hollywood Tony Gill, he's the best. Check him out at the Tony Gill. All his amazing work at NBC Sports Chicago. Appreciate you, Tony.
All right, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. You be good.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests. Prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.